Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, Season 2, Episode 3. Howell and Jamie here. We ask you, as ever, download the Acast app if you haven't got it, because you get to watch the pod as well as listen to it. When I say watch, it's links, it's pictures and stuff. You don't have to look at us just talking in a dark room with each other. And also, who's that person who you always talk about TV with? You don't talk about sport with them, you talk about TV with them. Well, let them know. That they should listen to the Box Set Pod. We love hearing your emails as well. Email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. So, today's pod is a letdown. Let's say why it's such a bloody letdown.
Got deleted.
We recorded a whole Box Set Pod, and then we left the studio, and the computer said Windows is updating.
Windows started updating automatically and destroyed our fine audio. How dare you? F you, Microsoft.
Yeah. That's why I'm eating now. Because for all I know, this one's going to be deleted as well.
Don't eat on the pod, Howell. You're really gummy. I don't know if you're aware of this. You're a very gummy eater.
It's delicious.
Like you haven't got teeth or something.
I'm having a satsuma. So what is on the Box Set Pod today? Well, we're going to have a little chat with a Hollywood producer who is in charge of the new Pitch Perfect movie. Very good Pitch Perfect. One of those films that looked like it was going to be rubbish and then was really funny. If you watched it, you loved it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. I really loved it. It surprised me how much I did like it.
Mm. Comedians being funny.
I love a cappella, though. I always wanted to be in a cappella band, and it's just not big over here. I really feel like I should have been born in America. I would have really fitted the culture. And
so that is now a Box Set, of course, because there's a second one coming out. Let's sing some a cappella, then. What do you want to sing?
Let's do a theme tune.
Yeah.
Mad Men.
An a cappella theme tune? Who does bloody theme tunes?
Why not?
All right, TV, let's try TV. And do Mad Men, all right? Keep going. We're going to go into Game of Thrones. Oh, no, it's quite a hard mix.
Ended on a high.
Certainly did. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you for your emails. Thanks for your tweets.
Love to know what you're thinking of the final season, everybody, of Mad Men, because we're into the last sort of 3 or 4 episodes now, and I've really, actually, you know, I started off a bit critical of these last few episodes. Well, there's been a few I've watched that have been brilliant, and just, you know, when the best episodes of Mad Men are usually when Peggy and Don Draper are interacting. Have you noticed that? I always find that there's something about those two characters, the journey they've been on together.
That's the question. How is Mad Men going to end, right?
Yeah, you know, it really worries me that Luke Marsden is right.
Well,
and that he's going to jump off a building.
And that we're not spoiling anything there. Because that's the first episode you see of the Mad Men on the credits, it's an animation of a guy falling off a building in a suit.
And we have no idea if this is right, but the more I'm watching it, every episode at the end I'm going, he's going to do it, isn't he? He's going to put me jump
But they're
off a
doing
building.
That on purpose. Ben emailed saying Mad Men are clearly teasing us. Every possible way that they can imply that he's going to jump off a building, they are doing. They're doing heavy hints to it. And Mad Men don't do heavy hints. Mad Men is a complex, beautiful machine that I do not understand. And that's why I love it so much. When I watch it, you know, it's the only TV series ever that I will react like I'm watching sports, but to writing. Yeah. Sometimes they do a line. They say a line in it, and I go, oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah.
Which is what people say when they're watching football. Oh my God, that's so good.
Goal!
Well done. It's like that.
Back of the net.
Because I just get the sense of like, oh my God, you are so smart. That is, I didn't know, I had no idea what you were doing with me in this series. And now I sort of get what you're saying, but I'm still kept in the dark. Yeah. And I love that you're keeping me in the dark.
It's so good. But the thing is, in the last one, the last few episodes, Big Daddy Drape has been taking a few pummels to the kidneys, and I'm just worried that he's going to go down in
flames.
The
wheels are falling off.
It's weird because he's a strange character, but you can't help almost wanting a happy ending for him.
There's one place in the country of America that he really likes. I want him to end up there. That's what I want. But again, they seem to be kiboshing that a little bit as well. Yeah. Who knows? What's going on in the news this week, Jamie?
If you've got to theboxsetpod.com/news, you can see all the latest stuff. I usually like to put as many TV trailers that have just come out as possible. Some really good TV trailers.
That's theboxsetpod.com/news.
Slash it up big time. There's a great trailer for the new show Blunt Talk, a proper trailer now. Patrick Stewart playing an eccentric British news anchor on American TV. Seth MacFarlane is producing this bad boy. It looks good in the trailer. It looks interesting. I love Patrick Stewart. I think he's brilliant. Another great trailer to look at, Fear of the Walking Dead. Yes, they've made it. It is the companion series to The Walking Dead. We already know it gets 15 million views an episode, the Walking Dead. The new version is set in Los Angeles, and we'll focus on the beginnings of the actual zombie outbreak. From what I've seen of that, that's just a teaser, but it certainly whets the appetite.
Have you seen the trailer for this new, it's like an Aaron Sorkin cross fest. It's like for pensioners. It's the Best Marigold Hotel, but it's, you've got Martin Sheen in it, you've got Jane Fonda in it.
No.
Have you not seen it?
Yeah, on Netflix you're on about.
It's going to be on Netflix.
It's out on Netflix.
Is it out already?
Yeah, it's like a sitcom, isn't it, about...
And what's his name? Charlie, the boss from Newsroom, he's in it as well.
Yeah, and Jane...
Grace and Frankie.
Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin are the main women in it.
Grace and Frankie, and it's about Martin Sheen.
Why have you said Aaron Sorkin, by the way?
Because they were all in West Wing and Newsroom, weren't they?
Oh, right, okay. See? Yeah.
Again, thanks to Ben for emailing me that and giving me that line. Grace and Frankie, so it's Martin Sheen and the other guy who is from Newsroom. They have decided in their 70s to be gay with each other. They've come out.
Great start for a sitcom.
They've decided that they're gay. And
see a Jane Fonda renaissance.
I mean, they probably already always knew they were gay. I'm not implying that. What I mean is they've decided to come out and announce that they're gay and partners. And so it's, what would happen if in your 70s you announced that, and how would your friends... as pensioners react to this news?
Ooh, I don't know.
It looks good. It looks good.
Speaking of Netflix, have you been watching Bloodline at all? Have you seen any of Bloodline?
I keep saying to my wife, let's watch Bloodline. And she goes, Howell, we're watching Suits, The Wire. You've started that vampire thing.
You're a busy beaver.
We've got too much going on. So she's making me wait. And I'm like, Sarah, this is my career I'm talking about. I need to watch this stuff.
Study it down. I've actually, my wife stopped watching it. Oof. Four episodes in. So
she followed the four episode rule.
I've carried on without her. And it's actually started getting... It's a slow burner.
It's so hard after that, isn't it? It's so hard to go back to someone who's given up and say, go beyond the four episodes.
Yeah, because I know she won't go back, but it is if you do get past four. It's one of those shows that like does a lot of teasing of secrets but doesn't tell you the secrets, you know? And that can get frustrating. That's why my wife quit. But I don't quit.
Does your wife quit on all things that get frustrating? Because if which so, I get the lawyer lined up.
Yeah, that's a worry, isn't it? Yeah. No, she's committed to this this husbandry business, but Bloodline is very good. Actually, it's getting excellent. I'm 9 episodes in. If you've watched any of Bloodline, let me know, because it's got a really good cast as well, and it's set in Florida Keys. It looks gorgeous. It's just like you know when you watch it, it's a lot like with Broadchurch, beautiful place, and you think, why are these people so effing miserable? You know, you're living in a beautiful place.
You know, with the box set pod that I went to Miami.
Yeah.
Well, on that trip, I also went down to Key West to do some research on Bloodline, obviously.
Of course you did.
And the weather was bad. I've got to have picked the 2 days of the year that the Florida Keys was grey. It was British weather. It was British weather. And a place like that is rubbish in bad weather.
Yeah.
I was so gutted. And it's interesting how much your mood can be shifted in a place. Yeah. You know what it's like? If you've ever been on a summer holiday and it's cloudy, it's like,
Stinks to high heaven.
Yeah, but
it is worth a watch, so get on that. Other trailers, back onto the boxsetpod.com/news. Great trailer for the True Detective Season 2.
Ooh.
Out 22nd of June.
Starring Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray.
You're absolutely bang wrong, Howell.
Oh.
In fact, you've got Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn involved in this bad boy.
Wow.
It's exploring corruption among California law enforcement.
Farrell and Vaughn, that is one macho combo.
You'd think it could, well, Vaughn's, you know, a bit slapstick, but he's taking on a serious role here.
Yeah.
Looks like he might be good. Watch the trailer, because, of course, if you watched the first series of True Detective, it was stunning. This is a completely different story.
I'm going to see that trailer, and I'm going to watch it right now by going to theboxsetpod.com/news.
Another trailer that I want to mention, it's a brilliant one. Orange is the New Black, Season 3. It begins in June, the third season. The trailer for Season 3 is brilliant. Like, wow. I love these characters now. I genuinely love it. And I think this is what's good about the trailer, is it really gets across that this is both quite a dramatic story, but also has comic elements in it. It's definitely not an out-and-out comedy, but it has a lot going for it. So check that out. Last two things. I do want to mention, we mentioned this last week, the Muppets are returning to TV. ABC doing a documentary-style Muppet show. We weren't too sure about that. And Sacha Baron Cohen is getting in bed with Amazon Prime to make a TV show.
Joking.
Yeah, it's going to be a new comedy show. It's going to be called Heiston. Okay. It's going to be written by the writer of the film Nebraska. He got an Oscar nomination for that. It's directed by the Little Miss Sunshine duo. Mm. It's about a 19-year-old called Heiston who retreats into his imagination, where he has famous friends offering him advice and wisdom.
Nice.
That sounds good. Sacha Baron
Cohen. How many ideas are out there? I mean, I've been thinking about this recently. It's like, the more we do this podcast, the more we realise that if we dedicated our life to just watching box sets,
mm-hmm.
we couldn't cover all of them that have been made just in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, just so the last much. 10 years, there are so
and
many.
I do want to be a special mention as well. I've not started watching it. Channel 4, a new cop comedy called No Offence. Now, I've heard it's really good, and one of the reasons I'm excited about it is because the creator of it is Paul Abbott. And if you know anything about Paul Abbott, he made Shameless, created Shameless.
When it was good.
Both in the US and in the UK.
Yeah.
And he was involved with Cracker, and he was involved in the brilliant State of Play, if anyone watched that. He's such a good writer, and I'm hearing really good things about No Offence, Channel
That's
4.
That's Channel 4 in the UK. I'm not sure where you'd be able to get it outside of the UK. Great news, is that it?
That's your business.
Well, this was going to be a much longer podcast. I hope you understand that in order to hit our deadline of Friday at midnight UK time, we had to do this one. So I think it's been fun, but we did do the interview, so let's get that on. It's a very short interview, and he seemed like a very nice guy, and let's listen to it. Let's just do it, shall we? Max Handelman.
Hi, how are you?
Max Handelman, very good, how are you?
I'm well.
Good. Well. Welcome to London.
It's great to be here. I have not been to London for quite a while.
And how's the jet lag?
Well, we've been in a couple different European cities already, and I was getting overconfident with my sleeping abilities. And caught up to me a couple nights ago. But I'm back. I'm back.
Good. So I'm Howell. This is Jamie.
I'm Jamie. Nice to meet you, Max.
Welcome
nice to
the Box
you.
Set Party.
First of all, can I just tip of the cap to you, sir, for marrying the beautiful Elizabeth Banks?
Thank you.
So
I did that, I don't have to accomplish anything else.
I mean, I love Pitch Perfect. Absolutely loved the first one. And it was one of those that, you know, sometimes I think the trailer doesn't do justice to the film.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Sometimes, in fact, they're dead opposites. Like, if you watch an awesome trailer, sometimes you know that the film's not going to be very good, and vice versa. Well, it wasn't that the trailer was bad for the first one. It was just that I expected it to be much more of a tween flick than a bunch of comedians. We were talking to Andrew, who's a Muppeteer, last week, and we were talking about the same thing, how there's this expectation sometimes of things for kids, when actually, when you get a bunch of comedians together doing something, you can make something really mainstream, but that is very funny. And that's what Pitch Perfect was, but you also had the added thing of singing in it, and brilliant singers in it. Does Pitch Perfect 2 live up to Pitch Perfect 1? Is it still as funny?
I'm very happy happy, and I can confidently say that Pitch Perfect 2 actually is funnier than Pitch Perfect 1.
No.
Yes, and I think we've been hearing that reaction response from a number of people who've seen the film already. It, you know, we, Elizabeth and I, and Kay Cannon, the writer, when we set about doing Pitch Perfect 1, and certainly when we, with Pitch Perfect 2, we always viewed the Pitch Perfect brand and world as a comedy first with music rather than a musical with some comedy. So we've always taken it in comedic directions whenever possible. So Pitch Perfect 2, you will find it to be as funny, if not funnier, than the first.
I was just going to say, how do you look after that? How is it when you're on a, such a... We talk to a lot of people who are in charge of, you know, the production side of things, and it's like you're moving these giant ships around in the night, and it's so important. You know, every second counts in terms of money. How do you look after the comedy? How do you allow space for the comedy?
Well, I think it starts with tone, first and foremost. You have to really know and understand your tone in real time. I mean, Pitch Perfect specifically, I think if we were off 10% or 10 degrees in either direction, you would have had, in one way, you would have had Glee.
Yeah.
In another way, you would have had probably kind of a somewhat silly teen comedy. Mm. And, you know, we've landed, I think, successfully kind of in the middle, where we have the tone exactly right, where it's irreverent and never takes itself too seriously and has a series of grounded and relatable characters. And you kind of get those things right, and then it frees you up to do anything and everything comedically that we do. I think the difference, one of the differences between Pitch Perfect 1 and Pitch Perfect 2 is that in the first one, it was very focused around the character of Becca Mitchell, and who's so critical to grounding our story and our world in a believable character so that you could kind of take it seriously. And then following her you know, romantic journey with Jesse and all the angst that goes into a freshman girl in college. In the second one, we didn't have to kind of rely on servicing all the kind of angsty side of things. We were just kind of able to turn it loose and just do a lot of funny stuff.
So when you were producing the second, when you were thinking of the second one, you and Elizabeth and Paul, how did you how soon did you have the idea? Did you know where you wanted to take it before you wrote the first one? Does it work like that?
No. I wish. No, we did not know. Well, certainly, we did not even contemplate Pitch Perfect 2 while we were doing Pitch Perfect 1. But even when we sat down to do Pitch Perfect 2, we didn't know necessarily what we were going to do, other than that we had certain key elements that we wanted to focus on. So we wanted to introduce a new character, and the character of Emily, played by Hailee Steinfeld, who is fantastic in the film, is an amazing singer, which I think a lot of people don't realize about Hailee Steinfeld. But she, you know, she embodies like the true Pitch Perfect fangirls, all the girls who are legitimate crazy fans about the movie. This is who she is. Her dream is to sing with the Barton Bellas. That's what she does. We wanted to have a much bigger riff off. The scene in the pool in the first movie was, you know, such a favorite of fans. So when we sat down, amazing, we said we've got to do a Fight Club underground riff off mayhem, bring in more groups, more songs, feature the American football players, the Green Bay Packers, you know, what have you, everything that we did. So it was just a lot of that.
And in terms of direction that you took it in, it looks like this is kind of a big, the stakes are higher. It's like the Lex Luthor arrives of singing groups.
Yeah, anytime a comic book reference can be made to Pitch Perfect, I'm pleased. The key with the Barton Bellas and Pitch Perfect 2 is last time we saw them at the finale of Pitch Perfect 1, they were extremely triumphant, singing an incredible song. They win the national championship. And the Bellas work best when they're underdogs and they're kind of like this, you know, band of misfits. Mm-hmm. So we had to find a way to immediately lay them low and humiliate them, which I think we do. There's no better way to do that than embarrass yourself in front of the President of the United States. And then couple that with presenting them with extremely high stakes. They now have to go to the World Championships and face down the dominant team from Germany.
It looks so much fun. How many, Elizabeth as director, how much of it goes in outtakes? Do they do a lot of takes of the same thing so that the gags can come in and so that the funny people can be funny?
Yeah, there's, I mean, it certainly varies from different scenes to different scenes. Some scenes where all the girls are in it, and it, you know, you really have to kind of make sure to hit every single character and every single line. There's less improv, but in other cases, when you have, you know, certainly Rebel Wilson doing her thing, yeah. Elizabeth and John Michael Higgins doing their thing. I mean, that what Elizabeth and John do is, you know, 90% all improv, and literally, you know, she just locks off the couple cameras, sets the lights, and they just go in there and do their thing until usually the crew starts laughing so much she has to call cut.
Oh wow! If you're impressing the crew, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot. couldn't use all of it. Some of it was not appropriate for a PG-13 film, but very funny.
Oh, brilliant. Do you put the jokes in front of test audiences and all that? I remember Will Ferrell talking about Anchorman and how they tested like 9 hours worth of jokes or something.
Yeah, you know, yeah, we did a number of friends and family screenings before getting to the kind of the official screening that gets scored for the studio. And so we test out a variety of things and then did the final two tests, official tests, and, you know, scored incredibly high, particularly for a comedy. And having been in the theaters, they were borderline religious affairs. It was pretty a lot of, you know, singing. I mean, people sing along with the songs, clapping in the middle of the film, everything.
We've got 30 seconds left of a 9-minute interview. We always ask our guests, we're definitely going to watch Pitch Perfect 2. We always ask our guests on the Box Set Pod, what are your favorite box sets, TV series or films?
Well, I certainly could watch The Sopranos.
Oh, yes.
I could go through that entire box set. Show over here in London that I loved watching all the Luther shows.
String a Bell.
I love all, you know, binge watching all the different television shows.
It's a good time to be a producer, creative time.
It is. It absolutely is. You can go back and forth across the mediums.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we hope to speak to you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Max.
All right, guys.
Max Handelman there, then. So join us next week on the Box Set Pod. But in the meantime, do pop us an email. Love receiving your emails. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Email us. I guarantee we will mention you on the Box Set Pod. I might regret saying that, but we've got enough time to mention. studio@theboxsetpod.com. Pop us an email with your recommendation of your favourite box sets, or are you just starting a new one and you want to tell us what that's like? Maybe you want to know. In the meantime, studio@theboxsetpod.com, or go to theboxsetpod.com/news. Au revoir.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to. Courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.